Come on up, Pastor Lori. I'm thrilled about what you have to share today. I tell you what, let me lead us in prayer before. Let's lift our heads to the Lord. And Father God, there's a major revelation that you want us all to know, and it has to do with your love. And I'm praying, Lord, that the words of each heart would swing wide open today for the impartation of this incredible, exquisite taste from another realm that changes people at the core of who they are. So I pray, Father, for this revelation to flow into our hearts and expand the depth of our understanding of you. Transform us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to get a little readjusted here. So anyways, my story about children's ministry.
Hang on, we're all going to get involved here.
Okay. Not too close.
It makes it easier for the
room. In case I start yelling like, who was James Brown? Ow! I feel good. So children's ministry, no matter what you asked, right, Connie? It was Jesus was the answer, and love. So when she, you know, it was just an automatic response, like, who do you think pays for the cafe? Jesus. Why? Because of love, you know? So today we're going to talk about the wild love of Jesus, okay? Jesus' love is wild. I don't know, this is like a spoiler alert, okay? His love is wild, okay? Now, I'm not talking like weirdo, crazy wild, like Girls Gone Wild video kind of stuff, okay? So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about wild, like, who here back in the day remembers the movie Born Free? Okay, anybody? Anybody remember the movie Born Free? Okay, well, it was a family tradition to watch Born Free every year when it came on. And we would sob like fools, wouldn't we, Mom? We'd be bawling, my brother be crying, my dad be crying, my mom be crying, because Andy Williams was singing that song, Born Free is Free. It's about this family, it's a true story, about these people from England, and they had rescued these lions. And they kept one of them, and her name was Elsa. Okay, you got to watch it. I watched a trailer this morning and was crying again. Okay, this is from the 1960s. I watched the trailer, basically told you the whole movie. I don't know what they were thinking back then when they made trailers. I mean, I don't even need to watch the movie now. It told me the whole thing. But anyways, I was crying as soon as I heard the music, Born Free, I'm starting crying. So I'm talking about that kind of freedom, that Jesus is free of all obstacles, all fences, all barriers. His love is free. And it's not tameable. He's not tame. His love is not tameable, nor is it domesticated. But yet, we try to tame it. We try to tell Jesus who he's going to love and who he's not going to love, right? Get back there. Choo, choo. We try to tame it. You can't love that person. That person's messed up. That person, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they did to them. His love is untamed. It's never domesticated. I just want to give you a few definitions just to kind of like anchor us into what we're talking about this morning. So the definition of wild is free or in the natural state of nature and not ordinary. It's not ordinary. Okay, it's not ordinary, tamed, or domesticated. This is what tamed means, reduced from the natural state of wildness. Especially so it can be useful to humans. Subdued, docile, lacking spirit, lacking zest, lacking interest, and the capacity to excite. Can everybody say boring? Domesticated. To adapt or to make fit. How many people have tried to make Jesus fit? To make fit into a domestic life, to bring to the level of ordinary. Can everybody say most boring? So we go from exciting, wild, full of interest, captivating. I can't get enough of it. It's crazy. It's unloose. No fences, no barriers, no nothing. Just free, free, free to I'm going to try to maintain this thing and I'm going to reduce it down. And I'm going to tell Jesus who he can love and who he can't love. And that and you know, and here's where we get messed up. We think his ways are our ways. We try to adapt him for human use. For human use. So Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens, get this, As the heaven, anybody flown to heaven lately? As the heavens are higher, that's high, than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Just stop right there. If you see something, you think, oh, I wouldn't have handled it that way. Why is God dealing that? I wouldn't have done it that way. Yeah, I know, you wouldn't, because his ways are higher than your ways. They're not your thoughts. They're higher. They're not your ways. You look at the people that Jesus ministered to in the Bible. None of that makes sense. None of it. And the one that really came to me was Zacchaeus. And I've talked about Zacchaeus before, but I just was thinking about him again because it really came to me. Because here Jesus and his entourage, they're coming into town. Everybody wants to get to know this guy. Everybody wants to be seen by him, touched by him. I mean, he's not your typical superstar rock star. We don't know anybody like him. So get out of your thinking you know who Jesus is, what he looks like. I don't know. I saw a painting once. I'm thinking he's like, he's not like Hollywood. He's not like anybody we know. His ways are higher than our ways. Quit trying to fit him into our image of who we think he is. So Zacchaeus is the worst guy in the town. He stole money from me. You know, it's really funny. But you know your paycheck you get, your pay stub? I usually don't look at mine's directly deposited. Every once in a while I'll look at it and I'll be like, oh man, look how much taxes they took out. You know, and I love it because I just get used to doing it. I don't even fight it anymore. I don't even look at it. But my daughter, who now has just entered the workforce, well, she's noticed that. She's like, hey, Mom, did you know they take like $300 out of your pay? Yeah. But Zacchaeus took more than 300. He took an extra 300 and stuck it in his pocket. What a jerk. You know, now I got to like suffer now because this guy is just mean. And he's Jewish. He's like stabbing us in the back. What a jerk. And Jesus comes into town. Guess who Jesus wants to have dinner with? Goofball guy that's stealing from all of us. What the heck? You know, Jesus passed up some really good people. He passed up some really righteous dudes to go have dinner with Zacchaeus. But you know what Jesus saw? He saw a possibility. And the rest of the story is amazing because I would have stopped it right there. I'd have been like, he is not a real prophet. He's not God's son. He's talking to that jerk. Just stole money from us, and we're like begging for bread because I don't have any money to pay to feed my kids because of Zacchaeus. He was hated. Everybody hated him except the money, except the people that were profiting from him. But Jesus didn't hate him. I don't know why, because I would have. But his ways are higher than my ways. I can't fit him into my domesticated life. His ways are higher. So Jesus sees possibilities, but we see the problem. Zacchaeus, to me, was a big old problem. And the last thing I wanted him to do was have the love of God. But what happens is Jesus has one meal with Zacchaeus, and the next thing you know, after chicken nuggets and French fries and, you know, chips and fish, he's a changed man. And he's giving me back now not just my 300 that he pocketed, but my 900. He's giving me like $1,000. I like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is awesome. He's like running through the town giving everybody all their money. Zacchaeus is awesome. I love Zacchaeus. Who said Zacchaeus was a jerk? That's not nice. Because I saw the problem, but Jesus saw the possibility. Good night, people. We live in a land right now where problem after problem after problem. I mean, you trust me, you could have like one hair out of place. Like one day you could be a hero. Everybody loves you. The next day you can do something really dumb and go viral. And now everybody hates you and wishes you were dead. Isn't that crazy? We live in a crazy world. Which brings me to my next scripture. Okay. This is a scripture that's going to help us with the higher ways that we're to look at possibilities and not problems. And how I even got this idea was I had a dream one night and I was listening to this person speak. It's a speaker on TV. And I thought it was just like a pizza thing. You know, like I maybe watched him a couple weeks ago or something. But I decided, you know what? I had a dream. I think I might listen to that guy again. I listened to him. He's a Christian leader. And he made the term. He said, in my business, I don't let any of my interns or employees or, and he has secular business, he has Christian business, he has all kinds of business. He actually calls it, well, I want to get into all that, but he doesn't let anybody come into his office without bringing a possibility. Don't come into my office bringing a problem. You go, you pray, you get the possibility, and then you come and we'll talk about it. So he did this kind of funny illustration. It's like where you call somebody on the phone. It's like, man, I have a big possibility. And so this really made me start thinking about problems versus possibility and how we live in the world. And the Lord gave me the scripture that really makes sense to me. And it says, Philippians 2:14, live a cheerful life without complaining or division among you. For then you will be seen as innocent, faultless, and pure children of God, even though you live in the midst of a brutal and perverse culture. For you will appear to them as shining lights in the universe, offering them the words of eternal life. All we have to do is that. That's easy, right? Oh, we live in a brutal and perverse culture, and we are to live a cheerful life without complaining or division among you. We're supposed to appear to them as shining lights in the universe. Do you realize that if we just don't complain, if we choose to live a peaceable life, if we choose to look at possibilities instead of problems, do you realize that you'll shine? Your mediocrity will shine in the midst of this perverse, brutal generation. We live in a dark, dark land. Please, we could just shine a tiny bit, and next thing we know, all these little fireflies be coming out, you know, because we live in darkness. So we cannot conform. In order for our ways to be as high as his ways, in order for our thoughts to be his thoughts, we cannot conform into what we see here. We must be transformed. Our mind has to be renewed. Have you ever seen or been exposed to something, or somebody's hurt you or betrayed you or something, and you just literally just want them to be like, how do you say that? Incinerated? Is that the right word? Incinerated. That's it. You want them to be, like, I don't want them just to be burnt up. I just want them to be incinerated. Yeah, is that it? Yeah, the most brutal thing, that's what I want. Yeah, incinerate, that's what I want. Thanks. So I thought, oh, that's not really scriptural, but yeah, it is. I don't know if you guys remember, but when Jesus was going into Jerusalem and he sent his disciples ahead of them, and it's kind of, it's a whole other message, I'm not going to go there, but in the Samaritans stopped them. They're like, we see your little envoy that you're bringing in here, checking it out to come through here to get to Jerusalem because it's a little bit quicker going through Samaria. We don't want you coming through here. So they went back and they told Jesus, hey, listen, I know you've done great stuff there before, but they don't want us coming now. And so they said you can't come through their town. So do you want us just to pray down fire from heaven and just, you know, burn them up? Because how ungrateful. You know, Jesus has healed people and touched people and talked to the woman at the well there and like did all amazing things, and now you can't come through our town? Like, who's saying that? Like, let's just burn them up. And Jesus is like, you don't know what spirit you're of. You don't know what you're saying, basically. But we do it all the time. He's like, you don't know what spirit you're of. If you do not display in any kind of situation, any kind of problem or possibility, that if you're not displaying the fruit of the spirit, then you're in the wrong spirit. That's how you can tell. So help me out here. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. Self-control is in there too? All right, good. Good job, everybody. Good job. So if you're not displaying one of those fruits, then you're not in the right spirit. And so back in the day, I had a situation where someone, gosh, they just really betrayed me. And if you want me to hear all the woes of the story, I'll tell you sometime. But I mean, it was hard. It was a betrayal. It was hard, and they just continually disappointed me. Okay, and I remember driving down the road one day, and I was just praying these, you know, such most holy prayers, like, Lord, just burn them up, just burn them up, like just come down with fire and burn them up. And I was legitimately praying that. So it was like the fifth time maybe I prayed it, you know, throughout this period of time of being betrayed. And finally, the Lord's so cool. He just kind of, his love's wild, you know. I get offended by him, but he's not offended by me. You know, I get offended by who he loves, but he's not offended by me. And so he shows me this picture. He's like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And I saw him come down, grab that person by the scruff of the neck, shake him around a little bit, and then drag him off to hell. He's like, you think that'll do the job? And I was like, oh my God, I almost pulled my car over. I just started praying, mercy, no, mercy, 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 mercy. And from that point on, I only prayed mercy prayers for that person. And guess who changed? Me. I changed. I no longer wanted them to be that word that I can't say right now, but that really, really burn up, okay? Now I just, mercy, God, mercy, 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 because they don't know what they're doing. And isn't that what Jesus said? So I guess it was a few months ago, I had this random, I don't know if you guys have ever had this happen, but I had this random encounter with that person that had betrayed me. Now, it was one of those situations where I saw them, but they didn't see me. So, you know, like when you're pushing your shopping cart down Walmart and you see somebody that hurts you and you're like, okay. Or you just like leave it all together and you're like, I'll come back later, you know. Before I tell you this story, this person never went to this church. None of you know them, okay. Just don't get on Facebook right now trying to figure out who I'm talking about. Okay, I didn't share anything. I didn't post anything about it. And nobody even knows this person. They don't even live around here. They've never been to this church, other church, okay? Just wipe it from your mind. Okay? Just catch the spirit of it, okay? Catch the spirit of it. So, you know, instead of like pushing my shopping cart and backing up and going somewhere else, I asked the Lord, because we have that kind of relationship, and I'm not going to go into territory that wouldn't be smart or wise. And I said, I see that person over there. Should I go say hi to them? Or should I just like slowly back up? And he's like, no, I want you to. I want you to. I'm like, okay. So I went over to the person and I had my baseball hat on because that's my look when I don't want to be seen at Walmart. I put my dark sunglasses on. And so they didn't recognize me, but as soon as they did, they immediately started crying. And they ran to me with their arms open for me to hold them, like hug them. Like not just hug them, not like one of those kind of hugs, but like a hug. And the thing that happened when I saw them, and I saw them cry, and I saw them come towards me, this is what God did to me. This is what the Lord did to me. He's like, okay, wait, you stay here, right there, and let me handle this. So it was almost like I stood here, and Jesus stepped in, and he was there. Why? Probably because I've been praying mercy for this person for years. So it was like, don't worry about it. You hang out here, and I'll take care of it. And it was very similar to how I have felt as a mother, or if anybody has ever called me mom. So, like, I have little kids. You know how little kids will call you mama or something like that? Well, I had a little boy the other day, and it just slipped out of his mouth. And he's like, mama. And I'm like, oh, God, here's my credit card. Like, you are mine forever. And that's what it felt like. And so here, there was a person I'm praying for where all fire of God would come down and burn them and incinerate them, and now I'm actually restoring them. Is that insane? What kind of wild love do we serve that God would do that? That he would work through all of the stuff, and that we truly would love the way that he loves us. And you know what? That's the first time in my life I ever felt, I felt so strong. I felt like Wonder Woman. I was like, poof, poof, who else can I forgive? Where are they? Who else? Like, I felt so powerful. I was like literally driving around town with my window down. Like, who else around here can I come and forgive? Because I felt so strong. It's the wild love of Jesus that we stop looking at the problems. Turn off your TV. Turn off your social media. Start looking at possibilities. My favorite scriptures, God gave it to me in 2012, called Zechariah 9:12. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Surely I will restore double for you. Return to hope. Be shackled to it. I just heard this the other day that just made me like that scripture a whole lot more. It was a guy, he's really well known in the body of Christ, and he said, you know what? In this day and age, the person that has the most hope has the most influence. Let's be hope containers. Let's start looking at possibilities. That's not a problem. That's a possibility for God to intervene. Oh, you need money? Possibility for God to intervene. We will shine like lights, and we will be Jesus. Instead of talking about Jesus and telling people about Jesus, just be Jesus. Just go do it. There's no more time to talk about it. And just go do it. Just go love people. If you love people, if you don't complain, if you just like walk around this world telling people like good things and being an encourager and being innocent and not being divisive and not being unforgiving and not being like the world and brutal and perverse, you will shine like a star. Who doesn't want to look at the stars? We haven't seen the stars for like 5 days or something. There's all this rain and air. I mean, we saw stars the other night. I was like, oh my God, it's a star. I was so happy to see a star. I was so happy to see sun yesterday. I mean, how long's it been? I mean, it's horrible. It's a possibility. It's not a problem. We had sun. So I want us to be hope containers. Hope containers. Look for times to be hopeful. I also felt like I need to talk about defining the relationship. We're in a season right now where we need to define our relationship with God. And I think a lot of times that we have, I know I have, where we'll put expectations on people of, well, let me say it like this. You can't have a marriage without a wedding. You can't have a wedding without an engagement or a promise to be married. You can't have an engagement without intentionality to like date with purpose of marriage, or some people call it courtship. You can't have a courtship without a friendship. You can't have a friendship without an introduction. And you can't have an introduction without an intentionality, like an intentional action, or you can't have it without a risk. You can't have relationship without a risk, without taking a step forward. And a lot of times I think that we demand people, even we look at the world and we're like, you have to be operating in this intimate covenant relationship with God. And they haven't even had like the first date with Jesus. So we have people that are all different levels. Does that make sense? And so some of us have been walking with him for a long time. And we're like having this mad, crazy, beautiful relationship with him. But there's some that haven't even like sent out their first text or even had a dance. And so this morning, there's a season right now, I think this period of time, where God is calling people into an intimacy with him, into a love relationship with him. And then I want to read a scripture out of Revelations. This is Jesus writing a letter to the church of Ephesus. He writes the following to this messenger of the congregation. For these are the words of the one who holds the seven stars firmly in his hand and who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know all that you've done for me. You have worked hard and persevered. These are compliments. I know that you don't tolerate evil. You have tested those who claim to be apostles and proved they are not, for they were imposters. I also know how you have bravely endured trials and persecutions because of my name. Yet you have not even been discouraged. These are all compliments. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the passionate love you had for me at the beginning. Think about how far you've fallen. Repent and do the works of love you did at the beginning. I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place of influence if you do not repent. Basically, it's what he's saying is, you've had a wonderful working relationship with me. We've done many, many things together, and it's commendable. You've had a wonderful working relationship with me. But I don't want a working relationship. I want a love affair. I want a love affair. That's, you're like, how do I know Jesus? Have a love affair. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, do you know how to have coffee with a friend? Oh, I can't spend that much time with Jesus. Did you go out with your husband the other night and have a nice dinner and talk? You know how. You know how. We've forgotten our first love. And God is calling the body of Christ and everybody that wants to be a part of the body of Christ back to having a love affair. I think this scripture tells me more than anything that Jesus is more concerned about having a loving relationship with me, one-on-one, just wild love, pursuit, wants to spend time with me, wants to know me, wants me to succeed, wants to bless me, wants me to be encouraged, wants me to, so that I'm motivated by love to do that for others. I'm going to close with this. I don't know if you have ever had like power outages, like power surges. Apparently it's real popular in Whitehall. It's a real popular thing, I guess. And in the past, it wouldn't really matter. All your lights would blink and everything. You know, the kids would be watching cartoons. Hey, where'd they go? And then it comes, oh, it's back, yay! You know, just real simple. Nobody's disrupted. But now, because we have digital and technology and things like that, you got to go around the house. And I mean, everything's your TV. You got to reprogram. You got to do this. And you're plugged in, but you just need reset. And that takes a lot of time. I mean, not too much. I'm just saying it's like take 5 days or anything. But it's still disruption. It stops the flow. You know, now I got to go, what? I want coffee. I want to do something in the microwave. Now I got to do the time again. What time? How do I do that again? Let me get the book out and look. You're losing time. You're losing time. Precious time. Time for what? Time to be Jesus. Time for just being Jesus and just loving people and just being flat out kind. You need reset. You had a little, no condemnation. It's just the Lord's giving us an invitation this morning to just be reset. Just let him reset you. You know, you had a little bit of a power outage. It happens. It happens. The any condemnation and any of those things, that's the wrong spirit. And you need to push that away from you. You just need to just be like, oh, you don't yell at the electrician. You don't yell, well, maybe you would. I don't know. Grace. God's love is wild. It's not what we think. I didn't even look at half of my notes, so I hope I'm making any sense. But let me just say this. I want to go back to the defining the relationship. You just need to figure out where you're at in the relationship. And if it's okay if you're just in the beginning of the relationship, take a risk. You know, back in the day, I think we don't have this anymore because we have social media and we're all so hip and cool. But back in the day, they used to have like little dances, like little sock hops or whatever. I don't know. That's out of my time frame. But I used to hear about them. You know, and the guys would stand on one side of the room and the girls would stand on the other side of the room and they'd be like, hey, she's kind of cute. And like, yeah, she's kind of, I think he's looking at me. You know, and there'd be this, but there'd be a risk. Either someone would tell his friend, I think she's cute, go get him to know her friend and find out if they're, you know, maybe they want a double date or something. Or, you know, you'd share a little drink with two straws or whatever. I don't know how they did it. You know, they didn't go on match.com. I know they didn't do that. But even that's a risk. I mean, they took a risk. They took a risk to get to know them. Some of you might just be at a friendship level with Jesus. I mean, the thing is, we live in an accelerated time, okay? We're living in dog years right now, right? So you don't have to, like, take you 50 years to get into some kind of, like, covenantal love affair, marriage type of relationship with Jesus, okay? I'm speaking allegorically. We're not actually marrying him. I hope you guys know what I'm talking about here. But we're in an accelerated time where you could just be getting to know him, and the next thing you know, because of his word and who he is, you know, there's only one stable rock in this world. There's only one stability, and it's Jesus. He's the same, he's the same yesterday and forever. Don't you just think, like, right before you're going to get in a relationship with someone, you're just like, I just wish I knew the end from the beginning, like, if this is a good thing or not. Like, I just want to know how it's going to turn out. Like, are we going to be on rocking chairs holding hands at the end? That's cool. I'm happy about that. You don't know that. But we have the word of God that tells us exactly what to expect. We have the beginning from the end. There is only one safe harbor where you can go rest your head at night and lay your heart's troubles at, and that is Jesus. He is the only harbor of your soul. He's the only port that you want to dock your boat and stay there. He is the one constant in a wicked, crazy, perverse world. Jesus is the one who stays yesterday, today, and forever. And he's inviting you in this morning and to have a relationship with a living God while we can. While we can. While we can. So I don't know where you are. I don't know if you're just at that first level of like maybe an introduction, or you're just maybe need to be reset. Maybe you just got disconnected. Maybe there was a power surge, a power outage or something, and you just got disconnected with God. Maybe you've been working really hard for him. You've been working really hard for him, but you forgot he just wants to have a candlelight dinner. He wants some romance. He doesn't want you to just work and work and work and toil and struggle and be like, I went through that trial. And just honestly, yesterday I should have stayed home and worked on the message and I didn't. You know why? Because I prayed about it and the Lord said, go do this. And I did. And I went and got a kayak and I went out in the middle of the lake and I didn't want to speak to anybody and I ended up talking to everybody. And I had the most awesome conversation for hours with a millennial in this little cove out on the lake. And the coolest thing was I got to be Jesus. I got to be Jesus. We talked for hours about lots of different things, dogs, world hunger, crazy stuff. But when I said, oh, you're a millennial, she got embarrassed, like that was a bad thing. I said, I love millennials. She had this great relationship with this person, this guy that they were kayaking with. I call, how long you been, is that your husband or is that your boyfriend? It was my boyfriend. Oh, okay. How long you been together? Like 10 years. Oh, that's awesome. She's like, yeah, well, my mom says we're living in sin. I didn't comment on that. I just let her talk. But you know what I did tell her? I told her about the promise. I just talked to her about, I said, yeah, I could probably see that. I bet I'm the same age as your mom. I tried to relate to her that way. Like, I can see that. I might be that way with my daughter. I don't know. I said, I guess I look at it more like a covenant, like a family. I started talking to her about family. I started talking to her about family. I didn't tell her, yeah, that's in sin, baby. Yeah, you're right. Got to get that figured out. We would have been done. Now we're Facebook friends. We took it to the next level. You know? We took it to the next. It was just a little risk introduction, but it certainly would have been dead in the water had I started telling her what I thought. Or if I would have been condemning to millennials. I love millennials. They grew up, you know what happened to millennials? Two things happened to millennials. Divorce went rampant in our society, and in the church was the same. They're afraid to get married because they're afraid of divorce. If I get married, that might mean I have the risk of divorce. If we don't get married, everything's good. We're great. They're afraid of that. And I actually said that to her. I said, yeah, that makes sense. And she just got real quiet. Because the Holy Spirit said that to me to tell her that. Then, the other thing was the church. Unfortunately, we didn't do very well back in those days for the millennials. But guess what? We have a great possibility. We have a great possibility now that we be Jesus now. And we can live in dog years, which means we can faster things. Things can happen. Things can move along. Okay? I mean, my dog's like 17, but he's like 150 or something. I don't know. But he's still trucking along. So we have an opportunity this morning. And I just want to invite, I'll invite my friends up for prayer. They want to come up to stand here for prayer. We have a great opportunity to be an answer to the world by just loving people. And you know what? People, left to myself, I'm a real selfish jerk, okay? I'm not a nice person sometimes, but neither are you. So what? Let God just take that kind of stuff and move on. It says that a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up again. Just keep getting back up. Just keep getting back up. Just keep getting back up. Just keep inviting. Let's all stand. Father God, I thank you that you have a special invitation for us today. And whether we come forward or we stay in our seats, it does not matter to you. This is always a cool place to come and pray because I always feel like you kind of like surprise us with stuff. But no matter where you are today, I just want to extend an invitation that if you have not even had the first introduction, a proper introduction with Jesus, I don't know if you want to show me your hand or something like that, but just if you want to say, you know what, I want to have a proper introduction with Jesus this morning, then just lift your hand and let us know. Let me know. I'm the only one that's really looking. If you just said, you know what, I had one of those Whitehall power surges in my life and I've lost my first love, or I don't know where I am with my relationship. If that's you, just like signal your hand, not necessarily to me because my eyes are closed, but to the Lord, because that's who it matters to. You just signal to the Lord, say, hey, that's me. I know I'm plugged in, but now I need to be reset. Reset me this morning, Lord. Reset me this morning. We have an amazing possibility to be Jesus in the world and to win back everything that the enemy stole from people. Marriage, tradition. Millennials don't want to get married because they look at it as tradition, church's tradition. So just go be Jesus out there then. You know what? When we couldn't figure it out with prophets and Jesus just said, you know what, God, let me just go down there. That's why he was Emmanuel, God with us. Just let me go down and talk to them. So they might not come through these doors, but you can go out these doors and go be Jesus. Just be Jesus. Well, that sounds really hard. It is probably hard. We live in a rough world. But shake it off. Just go love, go love, go love. Be kind. Be joyful. Don't complain. Just go shine. Go shine your light. Don't put a lampstand on it. Don't cover it up. Just go shine. Lord, we thank you for that this morning. We just pray this altar is open to anybody that would like to have further prayer or just encouragement. If you just need a word of encouragement or a hug or any of those things, this whole area is open. And otherwise, you're dismissed. You can interact with each other and fellowship and enjoy your summer day. Enjoy the sunshine and go be possibilities and hope containers. Amen. Amen.